and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Lots of stuff going on today. I've got a lot of articles I've been reading over this morning. Some wild stuff going on, as normal. Just got to kind of take it and look at it and figure out how you want to handle it and go from there in this big, wide world that we live in now. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Oh, I'm doing great. It's so funny. I just sent out a video. I'm blessed. I'm in the middle. I was typing some stuff when you were talking, so forgive me, guys, for being not focused here. I sent out a video of a guy who was basically talking about preachers who were selling out and who were bringing in basically homosexual pastors and counselors into their churches, who were openly homosexual and openly homosexual worship leaders and openly supporting abortion. Right? So this guy's slamming these guys for doing this. Well, I sent it to another pastor friend of mine. He sends me back and said the guy's an idiot. I texted him back and I said, I don't know if he's an idiot or not. I said, but all I know is what he's saying right now is true. And I don't know who this guy is. I just had gotten this video from him. Somebody sent it to me. So I find it interesting to me that, you know, people can say the truth, but if they don't agree with you with everything that you believe, that you're going to be classified as an idiot. So this is what I was just doing when you said hello, good morning to everybody here at Ted and Austin Brower Show. So I'm always busy. I've got literally hundreds and hundreds of things I have to do every single day with emails and stuff that I have to be done, plus the plethora of texts I've got to return. So it's an interesting world we live in. And last night I got this email from a good guy, Mark, and Mark was asking me, he was talking to me about cursing people who stood against Christianity. And I thought, well, that's interesting. So I started talking about this, and I started doing research on it, and apparently some people are praying imprecatory psalms against other people, and these people claim to be Christians. Now, people say, well, what does that mean? Okay. Imprecatory psalms are contained within the book of Psalms of the Hebrew Bible, and those who invoke judgment, calamity, or curses upon one's enemy are those who are perceived as the enemies of God. Now, this is pretty much attributed to King David when he was in exile, and he was, you know, really upset that he had been thrown out. They were trying to kill him. This was actually before he was king, and that Saul was still after him and trying to destroy him. And so he's like praying these things against the enemies that he perceives as enemies. Now, the thing we have to ask ourselves here is this. You know, are we supposed to do that as Christians? I mean, are we supposed to follow what David did, supposedly who was in the Psalms, or are we supposed to follow what Jesus did? Are we supposed to curse people and despise them and mistreat them to try to force them or force God's judgment against them? The Bible says, don't be deceived. A man sows what he reaps what he sows, that God will not be mocked. It also says that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Romans tells us in 12:14-21, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of God. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by doing so you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not overcome evil, but do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, I did a bunch of scripture research this morning on this, and I could do an entire hour show on this today, but I'm not going to do that because I'm just going to say this very clearly. You know, the Kabbalah teaches people who read it, not us because we don't read this stuff, that we're supposed to curse people. That's where witchcraft comes from. It comes from going in and, you know, and just doing things to them and getting an image of them or, you know, one of their body tissues like your fingernail or hair or whatever, and then basically sitting around and just visualizing that you're going to kill this person or destroy them. That's not of God, friends. It's not of God. And so the imprecatory prayers that David prayed in the Psalms is not something that Jesus taught us to do.
I just told you what Jesus taught us to do in Romans by the Apostle Paul through the Scripture. You know, we're supposed to love one another. Now, does that mean we have to tolerate each other? No. No. Does that mean that we should stand there and watch somebody kill our families and ignore it? No. Does that mean we're supposed to stand idly by like some limp, toasted, you know, lacy-panty Christian and let some homosexual get into the pulpit and preach that homosexuality is okay or that abortion's good? Absolutely no. But the Bible says, stand against this stuff, but sin not. You know, you can be angry about stuff, but sin not. Now, let me explain to you another thing about this. This is really, really important. This is, oh, I can't, I got to explain this to you from a physics standpoint. When you pray stuff against people, you create a scalar wave. You create an energy field. We've discussed this in depth, what prayer does. The problem with this is this energy field encompasses you too. It creates an energy field around you. So when you're praying really negative stuff about other people and you're cursing them, your own energy field is involved in this. It's unbelievably hard. This is where bitterness and envy and rage and malice and all these things consume you. I've seen so many people that get so angry at people. It could be a brother or a sister or a mother or a father or a relationship or a pastor or whatever. And they become embittered towards that person. And they hate that person. And they're always speaking curses against that person. You know, may he blah, 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 using God's name in vain and cursing everybody. And here's the problem when you do that. It creates that negativity inside of you. And your body recoils from it. Your cells start absorbing stop absorbing nutrients. You put yourself into a state of flight or fight. Your body's endocrine system kicks in with a bunch of glandular secretions because it thinks you're about to get in a fight. And you stop absorbing nutrients, and you massively increase your risks of heart disease, diabetes, and cancer. Now, I can't be any more direct than that. So you can't walk like that. That's why it says they'll know you because you're going to walk in love. You're going to love one another. Now, does that mean we should tolerate sin? Absolutely not. It doesn't say to do that. It says to pray for them. Now, you can speak out against them, too. You can say, well, this person shouldn't do this. This person shouldn't do that. This person shouldn't do this. But the reality is, you know, we can't just run around saying bad things and cursing everybody and thinking it's okay and then claim to be a Christian that we're walking in love. So, should we pray these prayers against these people that we curse them? Absolutely not. Should we pray that they be exposed? Yes. I talked to you guys about this last year, or 2 years ago, with Hillary Clinton 3 years ago when she was running for president. And I said, should we pray that she be cursed and die? And I said, by no means. We can't do that. Now, we can pray that she be exposed. We could pray that her hidden things that be brought to light, and they were through WikiLeaks. You know, Julian Assange, we owe him a great service, a great debt, to him, because he basically should be pardoned for what he did, because he exposed these clowns and their soul cooking, blood cooking, weirdo stuff they do. The world is run by a sexually obsessed weirdo group of people who are involved in a death cult. This is the Kabbalah group. Okay, they love death. They love to curse people. They love to basically bring harm to people. They love to sit around in their little witches circle and do their little weird things that they do. This is not of God, friends. And so when you curse things, you create that energy field. Now, let me tell you something that happened years ago, before I knew this, because I'd heard somebody talk about, you know, praying against these things and cursing these things. And we had found a home that we wanted to buy over in Lakeland on a small little lake. But the problem was, right beside the house was a bar, kind of like a strip club. I'm not joking, okay? But we wanted to buy this house. And I thought, well, you know, I don't know. I'm not going to buy the house because there's a strip club out there. You know, it's just this awful. It's this nasty little bar right there beside it. And so Sharon and I said, well, if it's God's will, we can buy the house, but we don't need to have this stuff around here. Anyhow, let's curse this strip club. You think, Ted, you did that? Well, no, we didn't use God's name in vain, but, you know, we said, well, we're not going to say it. We're not going to speak it. And then within weeks, this thing was out of business. Like, got burned down. This is no joke. And I thought to myself, wow, that was crazy. Well, then I found out later that that's a form of witchcraft when you do that. It's a form of that Kabbalah mess that when you do that. You don't need to do that. We have too much power. We have too much. Christianity did not become prominent religion in Rome because the Christians were running around killing and cursing Romans. Christianity became the prominent religion in Rome because God's power was shown through the Christians, and people wanted to emulate the Christians because the Christians had peace and joy and righteousness through the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and people seek that and they want that. That's how Christ's kingdom goes forward, not through bitterness, jealousy, envy, and cursing other people. So no, we shouldn't pray against other people and curse them. Now, we can pray they be exposed. You know, we can, you know, hope that, you know, they change. We can hope and pray they do, but we can't be sitting around using God's name in vain and cursing them and saying bad things about them and hoping that disaster befalls them while they're still on this earth. We can't do that stuff to them, because vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I've told you guys so many stories where back in the 80s, I was attacked. One lady, her husband, basically were a Carpenter's Home Church, and they ended up just coming after me because I talked about how health and nutrition was so important and how a person's health was determined by their lifestyle choices and their food choices and their supplement choices. And they came after me and later found out this lady was running a Ponzi scheme through her husband's clinic and had stolen millions of dollars from people in the church. She ends up going to prison. She ends up dying of cancer. He ends up being convicted felon. They let him keep his medical license, and he had to pay retribution to the people they stole all the money from the rest of his life. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. You don't have to go after these people. God's going to take care of it. I promise you, God knows everything that you're doing and everything people are doing to you right now. Very, very important. Now, we need to speak against them. We need to say, look, these people shouldn't be doing this. Hey, look, Trump shouldn't be doing this. Look, Trump did this. This is good. Point out the good, point out the bad, and pray that people's eyes be opened. That's what we pray, and pray that we can change and fix this government before it collapses internally. Until we get rid of the Rothschild banking cartel, Federal Reserve Bank in the United States, which controls everybody, it's not going to be any – it's not going to help. We got to get rid of these clowns. That's what we got to pray. This morning, it was so funny. I was on with Mancal Mueller out of Chicago. Did a short show with him today. And he's got a new – there's a new book out exposing the Epstein lies and who Epstein was, that he was a Mossad agent and he worked for Israel. Now, Mancow has never accepted the fact that Israel was involved in any of this stuff. And I've been telling him this stuff for years. And finally, he read this book and he said, you know, Ted – he said this on the air. He says, you know, Ted, I thought you were wrong and you were right. This is all part of the Mossad. And I said, look, I said, here's the thing. These secret – government agencies, Mossad, MI6, CIA, they all work together and spy on one another. I said the biggest problem that we have right now is that we've got 50 to 60 dual Israeli citizens in Congress and in the Senate, probably more, who knows what the number really is, and they're allowed to take another country's interests and bring them into the United States. I said it doesn't matter if they belong to, if they're a resident of Germany or Canada or anywhere, they shouldn't be allowed to serve in Congress and make our laws. I said it's a problem that we have in the United States. He said, well, I can't believe Israel's involved in all this. I said, well, the Mossad is probably the best secret government agency in the world as far as the ability to kill people. They probably kill more than anybody else does. And you say, well, is that something to be proud of? Well, no, I'm just telling you, these guys are really trained professional mercenary soldiers is what they are. And so we talked about this on the air this morning. So people are waking up to all of this stuff. But guys, as far as you and I are concerned, we have to walk in love. I was praying for you guys this morning, and we had a really good prayer Sharon and I did this morning. And some days are just different than others. And I've been working all morning on reading scripture. And the Holy Spirit fell in the room. And he showed me something that was so clear this morning. God wants a relationship with you. If you're listening to me right now, he's talking to you. He wants a relationship with you. He doesn't want a religion with you. He wants a relationship with you. Don't you remember what he did with Adam? He hung out in the garden, walked in the cool of the evening. This is the creator of the universe. Wanted just to hang out with his creation and just chit-chat and have a good time and fellowship. That's what he wants with you. So when you pray, you got to realize you're creating a scalar energy field that's connecting you directly to God Almighty through his throne room, through Jesus Christ, through the blood of the Lamb. And you have the ability now to do what Adam did, to walk in the cool of the garden with God. Think about that. So does that mean you need to run around cursing people? These people are already cursed, the ones that are doing all of this stuff. The curse is upon them by their own words and by their own deeds. You don't have to curse them. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Feel sorry for them. These guys are going to, like I talked yesterday, they're going to rot in hell. This is what's going to happen to them because of what they've done and what they've chosen to do while in this earth, on this earth. And the sad part about it is, even if you point out their transgressions and their sins to them, you point it out to them, they're so steeped in their own sin and their own way of living, the vast majority of cases, they will not listen. Sharon and I were joking this morning, and Sharon's gotten to the point now where, you know, she kind of likes to have things done her way, and, you know, we've been married for 36 years, and I just let her do what she wants to do. And here's what I told her. I said, here's the thing, Sharon. I said, as long as somebody's in charge who's competent, who cares? Now, if you get an incompetent moron in charge and they're making all kinds of stupid mistakes and they're in a leadership role, you got to get rid of them. But as long as they're in charge and they know what they're doing and they're doing good, leave them be. The problem is we've got a bunch of people in Washington, D.C. who are compromised because of pictures with little girls, because of drugs, because of bribes. They're compromised. And because they're compromised, even if they wanted to do what's right, they can't. That's why they've got to be replaced. We literally need to clean Congress and Senate out and put more representatives in from the states who are not dual citizens with any other country. That's how we get our republic back. That's how we get government back. I mean, the Patriot Act was renewed again this month, while everybody, last month basically, while everybody was sitting around thinking about the Trump impeachment. Of course, Trump signed it back in office. It ends up wiping out like six of our Bill of Rights. I mean, it's unbelievable how this continues to stay in law over and over and over again. But we slept. We the country, not we this show because we talked about it. We the country slept through the reenactment of the Patriot Act again. Like we sleep through everything because they have the circus clown show going on continually because the people in Washington are either morally compromised or incompetent, and we allow them to continue incompetence. It's like the Peter Principle. You can look it up in Wikipedia, in which organizations in which people rise to their highest level of incompetency, and that's what we have in Congress. That's why everybody hates Congress. That's why people were hoping that Donald Trump was going to come in and do something right. The problem is Donald Trump is compromised. And, you know, that's the problem we have with all of these elected officials. Because they're so compromised in their personal lives, they're easy to control. And this is the great circus clown show that has become the government of the United States. Guys, stay grounded in Jesus Christ. Bless those who curse you. Do what the word says. And just realize that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And they're going to have their end. Guys, you're going to be in heaven. You're going to be sitting up there with God Almighty. And these guys are going to be in hell. I mean, how'd that work out for them? Austin, what do you think?
Oh yeah, there's definitely no doubt about it. I mean, that's why. I mean, when you see a lot of the stuff these people are involved in, it's almost hard to fathom for a lot of us to even understand this when you see things like Jeffrey Epstein and so forth. And that's why we have to keep exposing it, because, you know, there is that normalcy bias with a lot of Christians where they kind of go, well, you know, this would never happen. People would never do that. And trust me, I've heard it and I've seen some of this stuff. And I mean, so is Dad. I mean, there's people out there that would just assume gut you or shoot you as they would look at you. There's a lot of people out there like that. And the issue that America has become now is we've become a very, very soft country to the point where we think we're some type of elite group that nothing's ever going to touch us in America if you're an American Christian and nothing bad's ever going to happen. And we're just going to get raptured as soon as there's any type of conflict, of any reasoning on this scale. And because the problem is, you got to remember now, this generation that's pretty much here, the last conflict we saw that was really, really horrific was Vietnam, that was on the other side of the world. And most of those individuals, like in Dad's age, are already starting to get older. Most of the guys from World War II, there's not a whole lot of them left. The things that we've seen in the Middle East and the sandbox, that's been an ongoing war, but we haven't had the amount of death count that we've normally seen because of the drones and everything else. And that, again, was on the other side of the world. We haven't had any significant conflict here in the United States in a very, very, very long time, which has shielded the vast majority of the population and brainwashed them through the mainstream media and a lot of the rhetoric from the politics into thinking that we're some type of chosen country and nothing ever is going to happen to us. Now, I do think we're a blessed nation. I do think we were, or we still are, a Christian nation. At least I am. I know my family is, Dad is, a lot of our listeners are. How far that continues to go, I don't know how long God's going to tolerate that with the level of abortions and now these children mutilations that we're doing now with this transgender ideology that's being pushed and forced down everybody's throat like a virus. But we have to understand that we have to continue to push the morals and ethics and continue to stand strong for those, because if we don't and we slowly start to allow them to erode slowly, 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 that's why I told you guys yesterday at the end of the show, if you have kids that are going to school system and they're being exposed to this stuff, and you knowingly know they're being exposed to this stuff and being fed the lie of this transgender mutilation garbage like they are blatantly in California. I don't know about all school systems across the country. I'm doing a little more research on that now. And you know that, though, then you really can't say anything. You just need to sit back and shut up and be a good little slave. Quite frankly, I have no sympathy for people that are blatantly encouraging and allowing their children to be exposed to this and not at least trying to look at other venues, other options, other alternatives, other schools in the area besides the communist indoctrination camp. If we don't do anything about it, we just sit there and ignore it and pretend it's not happening while our children get brainwashed day in and day out, then we deserve what's coming to this country, and we deserve every bit of God's wrath. That's a fact, because we did nothing to stand by. Like Dad said, it's not a sin to stand up for what you believe. Quite the contrary. It's not a sin to speak out and go against things that are go against your biblical values. And that's the idea, the ideology that has been kind of pushed in a lot of the mainstream Christianity, I should say, through Romans 13 and other aspects of it, by basically saying anything the government says or does at any point in time, no matter what the reasoning behind it, no matter how much it violates Christianity, you're supposed to go along with it, you're supposed to support it, and you're supposed to say, yes, master, can I have another? That's what they teach in a lot of mainstream Christian churches now, and it's nauseating to me. This is not something we can allow to go on. We have to start having our voice heard. Also, too, in a health topic that I want to bring up here, this has gotten brought up to me twice now, ironically, last week with a friend that I know that basically has become pregnant, and we were discussing the aspects of ultrasounds. And the couple was asking me my take on them. I told them, yes, I had one ultrasound per child at one point in time after like 24 weeks when the baby was pretty much fully developed. Essentially, because we were using a midwife, I wanted to do at least one ultrasound to make sure everything was good. You know, we didn't have an umbilical cord wrapped around the neck and so forth. That was just my personal preference. And that was it. I did one. Now, it's ironic to me because they were telling me that the doctor wants to do almost like a dozen ultrasounds throughout the whole pregnancy. Then this morning I got an order from a customer that actually wrote me an order comment. I haven't spoken about this at all on the show. And she said, and I'll quote, this is what she says here. She goes, thanks for your information greatly. I've been reading about your pregnancy information. My baby is due in 3 weeks and the doctors are doing weekly sonograms now, up to 6 during the pregnancy, and want to do 3 more up until the baby is born. And she goes on and basically says this is her third child. And I bring this up because if you've noticed, the usage of sonograms and the regular sonogram usage during pregnancy has gone almost exponentially in the last 10 to 15 years because of the medical industrial complex. Dad and I have gone into detail on this, and I just want to kind of touch base on it again. You don't have to do multiple sonograms. They tell you you need to do them because they get about $200 to $300 per sonogram. So on a full pregnancy, like this pregnancy, 9 sonograms, they're going to generate almost $3,000 per pregnant woman if they get the numbers up. Also, too, on that, ultrasound is not entirely safe. This is what I want to keep bringing up because they tell you, oh, it's 100% safe. There's nothing wrong with it. Ultrasound scanning sends sound waves into the tissue. These sounds bounce off the tissue and a picture is created. That's how a sonogram works, essentially on a basic scale, to make it really, really easy. The sound waves are capable of causing physiological effects, increase in blood flow and temperature increase to local tissues, production of gas bubbles that can put pressure on local tissues, and mechanical effects like movement of the fluid that surrounds your cells, which can also put pressure on local tissues. Ultrasound scanning of pregnant women has been shown to significantly increase the likelihood of miscarriages, premature labor, and also infant mortality. Pregnant physiotherapists who provide ultrasound treatments for more than 20 hours per week were found to have a significant increase of spontaneous abortions or miscarriages in those physiotherapists. You know what I'm saying here? Women that become pregnant that basically do ultrasounds for a living have a significantly higher increase of spontaneous abortions or spontaneous miscarriages. it's not something that's healthy to do on a regular basis. I only did one, and that was honestly probably one too many, but I simply wanted to do it, A, to figure out everything was good, and B, I'll be honest with you, I wanted to know if it was a male or female. I wanted to know if it was a boy or a girl. I had to know. It was driving me up the wall. And so I'll confess on that. But that was it. One and done. And the thing about it is, if you notice, whenever they do the ultrasound, even for a short ultrasound, they're always like, oh, the baby's moving, the baby's putting their hand up, the baby's squirming. That's essentially because you're cooking the baby. It's like putting a microwave energy beam on the child while it's in the womb. It's getting mad. That's why it flips over. That's why it goes different directions. That's why it puts its hands up. They're only rubbing right on the surface of the skin. It's not enough pressure on the stomach to make the baby that agitated. It's because you're basically heating the baby. And they get irritated. So it's up to you how many you want to do. But please understand, there are no significant benefits of doing multiple ultrasounds throughout the entire pregnancy, especially when they start wanting to do them back to back every single week at the end of the pregnancy. They do this to generate more money. They do this to cover the cost of their expensive ultrasound machines, which can go anywhere from $20,000 upwards of like $150,000 that I've researched. And they have to justify having this equipment and keeping it in use on a regular basis, so they regularly increase the rate. You remember, just 15, 20 years ago, a lot of times you did like 3 or 4 ultrasounds the whole pregnancy, and that was still a lot. Now it's like 9 to sometimes 12 is what I'm hearing now in some aspects of the pregnancy. Be aware of this, understand what's going on, and don't just, again, follow suit because somebody tells you to do so. Whether it comes to vaccines, whether it comes to fluoride, whether it comes to any of this stuff, make your own informed decision. Don't listen to me. Don't listen to Dad. Don't listen to anybody that's giving you this. Listen to what you believe and what you find out and what you know to be true based on your own research. That is something that we have an incredible opportunity now in this day and age to basically look things up with a couple clicks, just a couple keystrokes, and you can find out a wealth of information from a few hours ago to a few hundred years ago to a few thousand years ago. You can do it all right in your home. You don't have to go to the library and pull up, you know, all these different research and slides and everything. You don't have to do that. You have the ability to make an informed decision and consent to your own decision. Don't just do it because somebody says, you need to do so. I know what I'm doing. Listen to what I say. Do your own research and then make an informed decision, Dad.
You know, it's kind of like this. Hey, look, here's the deal. I know your baby's immune system. It doesn't produce antibodies for the first 12 months. And I learned in medical school that, you know, you're supposed to get all the antibodies for that baby through the breast milk. But I don't care about all that. We're not going to talk about that right now. We got to talk about compliance and getting vaccinations. And I know the hepatitis shot massively increases the risk of diseases later on in life. And I realize that the highest incidence of sudden infant death syndrome occurs after the MMR vaccine. And I realize there have been multiple studies now that are well documented that associate the MMR vaccine and different types of vaccinations and all these things that are in the compounds of the vaccines, increasing the risk of autism. I understand that's all true, but it doesn't matter. You need to listen to me because I got to get you used to coming to my pediatric office. I got to get you used to coming in every 90 days for a good baby check. So let's forget about all the scientific facts that I learned in medical school. Let's get you set up so I can generate as much revenue as I possibly can so that I can get full compliance from your vaccinations and the Blue Cross Blue Shield will give me a kickback every month or every year because I have all these vaccinated kids. So I've got to set you up to get you to come in so you realize that the baby needs to be there every 90 days, make sure the baby's okay. So we got to do that. So we got to give that shot, the hepatitis shot, right away. We got to give those first set of immunizations right away so we get you on a program, on a protocol that you can follow so you'll be in full compliance. And then you say, but wait a minute, doctor, you just said the immune system doesn't develop for the first 12 months. Yeah, I know, but – and you just said that it increases the risk of autism. Yeah, I know, but. And you just said it increases the risk of sudden infant death syndrome. You know, but you got to come in and spend money with me. It's the most important thing you got to understand is I need to pay my staff. And I got these 4 ex-wives with their houses, and I got a kid with every one of them, and they're all getting child support. And by the time the month is over with, I got to have more children coming in with more vaccines so I can pay the bills. Doc, do you realize what you just said? You're compromising my child's safety for the sake of your bills. Oh my gosh, did I say that? I didn't mean that. No, no, no. I didn't mean that. That slipped. I'm so sorry. It slipped. Oh, come on, guys. Doublespeak. Remember I told you yesterday we talked about subplots. Bleh! Gag me with a whole place setting. I can't believe these clowns do this stuff and watch these kids come down with autism and because they got to pay their bills. What the heck? If I was a pediatrician, let's say I was a well-known, I want to do what's right. And I'm not a pediatrician. Say I was, I'm not. And all of a sudden I start seeing kids come down with autism that were perfect before I inject them. I'd be kind of like, you know, something ain't right here. Something's wrong here. I'm seeing some of this now, and I'd repent. I'd repent before God Almighty. I'd repent before God Almighty that I had not done the research and that I had taken these parents and this perfectly good child, and now these parents have to deal with an autistic child for the rest of their life, and that child will never be right because of what I did. I would be heartfelt broken from what I had done. And guys, it's so important that you understand that a lot of these guys that masquerade as men of medicine are nothing but just greedy people trying to make as much money as they possibly can with no interest for your health or your child's health. Now, there are some good ones out there. I will admit there are some great medical doctors out there that really care about your health and that are very sincere healers of men and women and children. But guys, you need to make sure who you're talking to and make sure that they're going to have your best interest and your child's best interest at heart before you take your children to them. What do you think, Austin?
Well, that's well said. And I mean, always remember this. This is just a basically a fact out that I'm throwing out there. Healthy kids that don't have to go to the doctor don't generate any money for the medical industrial complex. Just think about that for a second. If your kid's healthy and he doesn't have to go to the pediatrician ever, and you don't take him for wellness checks every 30 days because he's completely healthy and he doesn't need to go to wellness checks because you don't need to take him to the doctor if he's not sick, why in the world would it generate any money for them? It doesn't. And what's ironic to me is people always are like, oh, well, you got to take the kids in. They got to get a checkup. Checkup for what? What are we doing checkup for? Do you go to the doctor every month to get a checkup? Most people don't even go to the doctor every couple of years for a checkup, except maybe like blood work, like you know, something like that, like an annual blood work. But I mean, why do you need to go to the doctor every couple months? Because, like Dad said, they want to get you indoctrinated into that cycle of always going to the doctor. And I can't tell you how many friends I've had now, and I'm talking a lot of them, that have had kids. They go on the vaccine carousel ride. The child starts getting sick almost immediately. They may not develop autism, they may not die, but they always end up having some type of significant allergy, chronic ear infections, chronic sinus infections, chronic sore throats, antibiotic usage out the rate. Almost every single child that I've seen this on now that's basically gotten vaccinations. And I mean, there was one a while back ago, one of the kids I knew, they got their vaccine, their 1 year schedule. They immediately right afterwards contracted hand, foot and mouth, whatever it was, you know, some basically sickness. Then all of a sudden I talked to another couple that I knew, their baby was a little over a year old. They had gotten their vaccine. They contracted the exact same thing. Remember, and these children weren't in daycare, by the way. They're basically home raised still by like their parents and their grandparents. And I just thought it was ironic because then I knew another couple that had a child that they did not vaccinate, and our children, I have not vaccinated, haven't gotten sick, didn't get anything. You know, maybe a stomach bug occasionally from putting their hand in their mouth or doing something like that, you know, to throw up. And we went through a spurt of that a while back ago, basically a little stomach bug around. But, I mean, in and out, gone. But this is what people have to realize. The medical industrial complex is not what it used to be. It's not there to help protect and keep people healthy anymore. It's there to generate as much money as it can physically do so at the expense of the patients. Healthy people don't make the medical industrial complex money. Just remember that. Also, too, in other news, this is something that I wanted to bring up since we're kind of on a health topic today. I want to bring a lot of stuff up here today. They're now saying, imagine this, a new study published in Molecular Brain is now coming out now and saying what we have said for years, pregnant women who take antidepressants during pregnancy cause their babies basically cause all types of health problems in their babies. They're going on to say here that now they're attributing that women that are taking fluoxetine while pregnant increase the risk of autism in their children by like fivefold. Conventional medicine usually prescribes antidepressants to patients with major depression and most likely stays away from pregnant women. And the current study, Duke NUS Medical School Research, led a collaborative study on the drug's potential effect on children of pregnant women. And they go on to say here, they go into detail on the women that basically were taking this stuff and how large percentage of them continually were having issues, and they tested it on mice and so forth. This is why I bring up all the time, when you're pregnant, you have 9 months to be as clean as you can, to eat as clean as you can, to drink the cleanest water that you can, to stay off as many prescription drugs as you can. It drives me up the wall when I see ads and stuff that goes on, basically encourages pregnant women to go get flu shots. When you're pregnant, every single thing you put in your body has an effect, whether it's positive or negative, on that child. And anybody that tells you otherwise is bold-faced lying to you. To sit there and claim that you can take a prescription drug that's an antidepressant, or you can inject some type of virus into you, or flu vaccine that has mercury in it, and to blatantly claim that it's 100% safe for your child is a downright lie, because there's no way to know so whatsoever, because most of these studies are usually so small, and if you start doing the research, you will find that a lot of the research studies involving pregnant women are never published, because the findings always end up coming up negatively for the people that are trying to find the research on them, especially when the medical industrial complex pays for those, or the pharmaceutical company pays for these research things to be done, and they come out in a negative light towards the drug or the vaccine. They scrap it all. They don't publish it. They basically blacklist it and bury it. This is something that's on a regular occurrence. So understand it before you start putting this stuff in your body. Also, too, in other news, the new research study that basically was done at Maastricht University in Netherlands has been something very positive that I've been talking about for years. They go on to say that drinking a protein shake before bed helps to significantly increase muscle mass and strength in a new research study that was published in the Journal of Frontiers in Nutrition. This is a staple that I have done, honestly, since I probably ever started working out. It's a habit of mine that I honestly can't break. Almost pretty much every single night, and there's only a couple nights that I can ever remember in the last 10, 12 years that I've missed this, with an exception of something, that I've always drank a protein shake right before bed. Every single night. And I usually use the whey protein, or I'll use our pea and rice protein, like our I-5 or our Ultimate Multiple Fit Food Vegan, GHI Cleanse, whatever it is. I've used multiple different kinds, but I use whatever basically I have, or I'm currently using, or I'm currently running through. And I always do it right before I go to bed, and I take it with my basic supplements, my CoQ10, my vitamin E, my cod liver oil, and so forth. And I usually take anywhere from about 20 to 30 grams of protein. I've done this every single night. And in my opinion, this has contributed significantly to my recovery and my ability to basically retain mass and strength. Even when I'm not eating as clean or eating as good as I really should, I still am able to maintain a pretty significant amount of strength in the gym. They go on to say in this research study, they go said the reports show that consuming healthy, high digestible protein before bed increases muscle protein synthesis during overnight sleep in young adults. These studies have fueled the idea that a pre-sleep protein supplement taken over a long period of time can maximize the strength and muscle mass gains during regular strength training. In the studies reviewed, 44 fit men were asked to participate in a 12-week lifting program. Half of the participants took a protein shake containing 30 grams of protein before bed. The other half received basically a placebo drink with no protein in it. By the end of the trial, the protein shake group gained significantly more strength and size. Evidence also revealed that late-night consumption of protein, pure protein, did not lead to weight gain as far as body fat gain. One study examined and compared the effects of an 8-week morning protein consumption with evening protein consumption. Results showed that the additional protein caloric intake in the evening did not increase fat mass regardless of the amount of exercise. In another study, the consumption of protein shake before bed even increased the rate of fat burning the next
day. So when you're drinking a really clean protein like we have, and you're drinking, you know, say 20 grams of protein at night right before you go to bed, if you're an active individual, in this research study, they showed zero increase in fat addition into the body, and in some cases, actually increased the metabolism and burn fat more efficiently. You have to think about it. Your body doesn't grow in the gym. It's a misconception a lot of people don't understand. You don't grow in the gym. You break down muscle tissue in the gym. Now, you may get a pump. You may increase blood volume to the muscle tissue, and you get a pump. Your muscle expands. It looks bigger. You feel good. You got a big pump in the mirror. Oh, now apparently what everybody does in the gyms, I hear about this all the time. I train basically at a private gym now. I don't usually go to public gyms anymore just because I hate dealing with them. I did when I was competing. But it still was already horrific trying to deal with equipment. But now apparently what everybody does is they take photos in the gym all the time. They take selfies and they post it on apparently Snapchat and or Instagram. And so they're constantly in the gym. And apparently it's a big joke now among a lot of heavy, hardcore bodybuilders still that when they go to the public gym, like 90% of the gym, people are sitting on equipment, taking selfies, taking mirror photos, and that's all they do the whole time. And I just got a chuckle out of it because I remember the old days, and Dad remembers even more than I do, because phones didn't exist. You go in the gym, you're in there to train. You're not in there to play around. When we're in there to train, we're in there to train. And, I mean, it was blood and guts as hard as you could go, pretty much until exhaustion and failure. Now, apparently, it's more of a trendy thing to go to the gym and take photos of yourself so you can post them online and show everybody how cool you are that you went to the gym today. That's just a side note. I thought I'd get a kick out of that because it makes me chuckle when I hear about this, Dad. And I know, especially back in your day, and when, you know, Arnold and all that, there were no phones. Nobody, you took photos. It was like a contest prep photo shoot, and that was the only time you were taking photos in the gym. Am I right?
You're absolutely right, Austin. Or you take a photo to track your progress every 8 or 9 months or 6 months or whatever. But you wouldn't be taking selfies. We didn't have cell phones. We didn't do selfies, and selfies are such selfies. I get so, and it's so funny because people do these weird poses like we're supposed to be impressed, like they're standing on their head or they're kneeling down or they're doing all kinds of weird stuff all the time. And you're kind of like, what are you doing and why do I care? And my favorite part is when friends start sending you selfies of themselves. You're like, I'm like, what are you doing? I don't need to see a picture of you. You're being weird. Stop it. I don't want to see it. What's wrong with you? And they do these weird poses like they're supposed to be really cool. And you're like, this is the culture that we live in. But when I was at the gym, like when I was training for the Mr. Tallahassee contest, which I won, by the way, in 1976, we were in Tully Gym, which was the bottom of the gym at Florida State University. It was like a 40 by 30 foot workout areas, like 1,200 to 1,500 square feet maximum. It had a cage around us. You couldn't get in it at night. The equipment was junk and broken. There were no radios. There was nothing. And everybody who worked out in that horrible place was a hardcore trainer. I mean, there was no AC, guys. We were in a shower room in the bottom of Tully Gym with like 95% humidity with the shower steaming up the doggone room. With no windows. You could try to crack a couple on the side of the building, but half the time they wouldn't work, and there were no fans that worked. So it was hardcore. It was a hardcore gym that was for one reason, to work out. And so you're right. The gyms have become trendy now. Oh, look at me. Look at me. I'm working out today. How nice am I? How cool am I? No, wait a minute. Wait. Stop. 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 Stop it. If you want to work out, like the other day, we had a house guest here for a week, and he goes, well, I'd like to work out with you while I'm here. And I'm like, no. He goes, why not? I said, you don't work out when you're home, but I want to train. I'm like, no, you don't. You don't work out at all. And I said, you know, you got a pencil neck. You got tiny little arms. I said, you're 23 years old. You should be in the best shape of your life right now. I said, you don't want to work out or you'd be working out. I said, so why am I going to take 3 or 4 hours this week and train you how to train and you'll never train again? I said, my daughter works out in our little gym we have here at the house. I said, if you want to work out, let her work out with you. Let her teach you how to work out. I said, I've done enough of that. That's the same thing with trying to teach somebody how to eat. If they don't want to eat right, they're not going to eat right. If they don't want to work out, they're not going to work out at all. Or they're going to go to the gym and waste their time and end up getting hurt. So the vast majority of the people are not consistent in their workouts, Austin. You're absolutely right. But now it's become trendy, and it's become the new bar for people to date and pick people up. I'm just going to be honest with you guys. It has. When I was a kid, in Tully Gym, there were no women. We weren't going in there and strutting our stuff to impress some girl. We weren't doing that. We were working out because we wanted to work out and be in really good shape. Now, when we were dating our girlfriends and they were appreciative of how we looked, yeah, it was pretty good feedback. But the reality is that's not why we were there. I mean, the women walk around now and they dress very provocatively in gyms, And they're very distracting to guys who are alpha males and aren't gay. I mean, I have to say that too, because some of the guys who work out are gay. So the guys that are alpha males and they see this little scantily clad girl trot by, they're doing that on purpose. They're trying to get attention. And Zig Ziglar would say they were trolling. And it's what they do. So gyms have become, like you said, Austin, they become a place that you kind of go to and chill out and have fun in. But the really hardcore working out, that's very, very rare. You probably have one out of 200 or 300 people that train really hard and consistently and follow it up with diet and nutrition. Let me say one thing, too, about the protein shake before you go to bed. When you do that, when you have enough protein in your body, here's why it increases your strength so much. During the night, your body has digested all the food in its stomach. Most of the food in the small intestine is moved through and is in the colon now being eliminated, and your body is seeking nutrients to maintain muscle mass so you don't go into ketosis and start digesting your own protein, your own muscle. So that's why it elevates cortisol, and the cortisol makes you wake up to get up to eat so you can break fast, B-R-E-A-K, stop it fast, F-A-S-T, break fast, breakfast, because you want to break the fast. And that's why your body does that. That's why it elevates cortisol in the morning. It's an agitation hormone. It's also a muscle-wasting hormone. So you've got to get up and eat to stop the muscle waste. So that's why when you have a protein snack, or even if you just eat it, if you are a protein powder, is great. Even if you eat an egg, a boiled egg before you go to bed, it'll help do the same thing. But just do something before you go to bed at night. Now, if you're trying your best to lose weight, don't eat after 6 and then have like a boiled egg before you go to bed, and take our HGH stimulate right before you go to bed, because that allows your body then to increase human growth hormone and burn body fat, increase lean muscle mass and all of that, and it kind of acts like a natural Viagra. So working out is something that I really know a lot about because I've been doing it for almost 50 years. I was in the gym last night with Austin. He had his workout partner in there, and I'm in here 64 years old hitting the weights, and the guy, and I was telling Austin that one of the latest articles came out that said even 41-year-olds have stopped working out, and that's what it said, most of them, because they don't have the energy to work out. And I said, I don't care if I've got the energy or not, you've got to work out, you've got to exercise. I mean, the law of life is movement, rhythmic continuous movement, at least 1 hour a day, 3 days a week. Nobody ever graduates from the school of physical conditioning. Either you continue progressing or you go downhill. That's a quote by Dr. Thomas Cureton. It was over my water fountain in the gym I trained at for years when I was in high school. I still remember because I read it every time I went to the water fountain. See, and this is the thing that we have to understand. Our bodies need physical exercise. Our lymphatic system needs physical exercise. We're not designed to be a couch potato and play video games. That's what some of these guys, they play video games until they die. They drop dead playing in the game. It's not healthy, guys, to do that. And so remember that. Even if you're just getting out and walking, do it. Do it. Just go out and walk. Train with. I've got an exercise video program, beginning, intermediate, advanced exercise for men and women. Try that. You can work out. The first couple of videos are all about working out at home, like we do here. Work out at home if you can, because that makes it easier, because you're there and you don't have to get dressed and go to the gym and blah, 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 and fight traffic. And you don't have to listen to the filthy heathen music in the gyms. That's one of the primary reasons that I started working out at home. And you don't have to lay around in other people's body fluids, which is really, really nasty. And you don't have to be distracted by the unbelievably hot blonde who just walked by wearing very tight spandex thinking that she's smoking hot, which she is, and basically trolling in front of you trying to get your attention. You can avoid all that and be happy and be true to your own wife. What do you think, Austin?
That's well said. I mean, there's the whole gym scene's gotten very, very strange. And like I said, that's why I don't really attend it anymore. And, you know, I mean, you look at a lot of the old school guys. You know, I was watching some on Dorian Yates the other day, and, you know, they were talking about how, I mean, he trained in that dungeon when he was over in London. You know, as far as, like, literally, it was like underground gym. And so, I mean, when you're serious about it and you want to get in shape, it's not about trying to impress other people or walk in with the coolest clothes. I mean, that's the thing that got on my nerves, too. Now, you always see when you go to the gym years ago, people would always be coming with these like full matching attire outfits every single day they came to the gym. And I'm like, golly, man, when you blow like, what, $500 a month just in gym clothes to try to come in here and match and look cool, you know? I mean, it was ridiculous. But going back to the health thing, before I meddle in that any further. Another thing you can do as well, since we're on the topic of training and eating and so forth, if you're trying to, and I've brought this up before, I'm going to bring it up again, if you're trying to burn body fat and you're also trying to, you know, build muscle tissue and maintain muscle tissue while you're getting leaner, The other thing that's really important is fasted cardio, and it's very effective, especially if you have protein before you go to bed. Now, a lot of times when I was training really, really heavy, I'd actually have a little cooler pack beside my bed, and I'd, if I woke up, I'd usually just wake up, you know, just on pretty much rhythm. I'd go to bed at 10, drink a shake, wake up at 2 or 3, drink another shake, and roll back over and go to bed. Now, that was when I was training really, really heavy, and I was trying to get as big as possible. I don't do that anymore simply because I just don't need that much protein throughout the whole night. But then in the morning, you get up and you do fasted cardio. And when I mean fasted, I mean there's no food. But what I would do is I'd always take about a 30-ounce shaker bottle, 25-30-ounce shaker bottle, and I'd throw our Muscle Blast formula, which is our branched-chain amino acid formula, a scoop of the HGH Stimulate, and a scoop of the magnesium, and I would do fasted cardio. Now, you can do it on an elliptical. You can do it on a Stairmaster. A lot of times what I would do it on one of the seated bicycles with the big, big cushion on it, so it's not like a regular bicycle that's hammering your prostate, but basically just a stationary bicycle. And what that does, that allows you, if you're doing something in the morning, you need to check emails, you're running a business, you can start your day, you can read, you can do whatever you need to do, and do about 20 minutes of fasted cardio while you're drinking the drink. And usually I'd be done with the drink by about halfway through because I was so thirsty in the morning anyways. Then once you get done with doing that, you get ready and eat breakfast. You have something like eggs or oatmeal or protein shake if you want to. And that what that does is it massively ramps up your metabolism first thing in the morning. I mean, you'll be sweating throughout the whole entire day, I promise you. You'll be hot. You'll be hungry all day. You keep your 5-6 meals on schedule all day. And I promise you, if you're training and eating clean, you throw in that fasted cardio, you will start burning body fat faster than almost anything you've seen before if you have your diet in check. Now, don't think you're going to go start doing fasted cardio in the morning and go continue to pig out on Twinkies, ding-dongs, donuts, and ice cream every single day, and you're just going to drop body fat. That's not going to happen. The fasted cardio should be a tool after you get everything else dialed in, and it really ramps up the effects and the benefits of what you are already doing. So just something to kind of add in there. Also, too, in other news with organic food, this is something to be aware of now. Back in June, USDA clarified its standards regarding organic crop container systems. This is essentially the container-grown food or hydroponic food and stuff like that. Obviously, they stated that no glyphosate or synthetic chemicals could be approved in or around those containers for 3 years before the food was planted. This is USDA requirements for organic. Well, what's interesting now is the National Organic Program just came out and found a loophole around this, which I have no idea why, and announced that they're now allowing glyphosate basically to be sprayed around organic hydroponic food production on the ground to kill the weeds before they set up the hydroponic greenhouses that are awaiting organic certification. This is a very strange gray area. We need to be very aware of this, and actually we need to try to do our best to oppose this. What they're saying is when they're getting the ground prepped to bring in a hydroponic unit, using glyphosate on all the weeds in the whole surrounding area is okay as long as the food is grown in hydroponic containers, because technically it's not touching the soil. The problem with this is we know glyphosate is unbelievably toxic. We know that it doesn't really evaporate. It doesn't really ever decay. It pretty much sits in the same areas and just sits there for however long it's supposed to be. The issue with this is that it's a very tight gray area, and it can lead to glyphosate exposure on organic food. We already know that organic oats in numerous cases now have tested positive for glyphosate. Organic, certified organic oats have tested positive for glyphosate. We brought this up multiple times on the show. So be aware of this. Voice your opinion on it, especially if you know local farmers that are using hydroponic or container-grown food that is organic. Try to voice your opinion about this. Try to be as open, as proactive as possible, because we cannot allow organic food to be contaminated or to have any inclination that we're going to start allowing glyphosate around that food whatsoever, Dad.
You're right, Austin, and we need to avoid glyphosate altogether. It's a poison. By the way, 23andMe's pharma deals have been the plan all along, posted on a website here with us, Health Masters. Since the launch of his DNA testing service in 2007, Giants 23andMe have convinced more than 5 million people to fill a plastic tube with saliva, return that spit, and basically gain insights into their biological inheritance. And now we are finding out last week's announcement. Remember, this is another people who took down Building 7's company. The world's biggest drug maker, GlaxoSmithKline, is gaining exclusive rights to mine 23andMe's consumer database for drug targets. Should come as no surprise. Whoa. Did you hear what I just said? They're going to make drugs now based upon what your DNA says. Here's another article from military.com. Male and ancestry DNA kits may help the enemy to target you, says the Navy's top officer. The Navy's top officer warned against using popular at-home ancestry kits because scientific weapons and advancements are making biological weapons more tailorable. Biological weapons can target specific groups or individuals vulnerable to pathogens or other diseases are growing a national security concern. In other words, we don't like Spanish people. Let's get rid of them. Let's target their DNA. We have enough samples now. Yeah, or Germans or Russians or Poles or anybody they want to target. Guys, I warned you this was going to happen. And now they're coming out blatantly and telling us it's a possibility. I love you. I loved praying for you guys this morning. I loved it when the anointing dropped on us when we were praying this morning. I love it when that happens. It's amazing. You know, guys, thank you for supporting Health Masters. Thank you for getting your toothpaste and your multiple vitamins from us. It's easy. Just call 1-800-726-1834. You don't have to go online. I talk to Steve or Ruben or Austin, or if I answer the telephone and say, hey, look, I want to get your multiple vitamins and toothpaste, 1-800-726-1834. Or you go online. We actually have people that answer the telephone. 1-800-726-1834. I'll say it again because we're going to make it as simple as we possibly can. All you have to do is tell us what you want, give us a credit card number, it ships to you priority mail, you'll have it in 2 days, and you support the show. Guys, I love praying for you, and I pray that God blesses you in all the things that you do. Austin, finish it up, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. God bless.
Yes, and guys, again, when you support Health Masters, I mean, you're helping support the show. You're supporting everything. That's why we don't do ads on this show. We do not do sponsors. We do not do commercials. And, you know, I get so many emails that people are appreciative of that. And, again, thank you, because we want to do the best we can to provide you with the best products and the best services. And when on our show, we want to provide you without commercials. I'll be honest with you, I hate commercials. I can't stand them. They drive me up the wall. And I know a lot of people are the same way. They feel the same way I do. So if we can do something and bring you the best information and the best news as fast as possible with no commercials, that's what we're going to keep doing and keep doing as long as we can. And when you guys support us, you make that happen. Thank you again for everything. Be safe. Be prepared. As I keep telling you every single day, have your stuff in order. Have some prep food. Have a gear bag. Have training. Have things that are going on. We'll talk in detail tomorrow about a bill that won't go anywhere in Virginia, but it's going into detail now against the aspects of people having the ability to train with one another. And this is something that they do not want the population to do, is be able to work together in a unit. So stay tuned for tomorrow. Going to be another great show. Thank you again for the support. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.